Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm a senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation, Chris Bisignano. Chris, I think it's appropriate to start off this podcast with the, the remembering what a great player the late, great John Mendenhall was. Yeah. He passed away February 26th at the age of 72. You saw him play, Chris. I did not. I don't remember him playing. I was, like I said, I was born in 74. You saw him, and I think you can touch on what a great player he was during a horrific time for the Giants.
Yeah, Jerry. He was an excellent, excellent football player, man. Real good defensive lineman. And let's face it, you know, it was the wilderness years, like what we like to call the wilderness years.
Yeah.
In the Giants' history, you know, in the 70s.
Yeah.
And because of that, he never received the recognition he deserved.
Right.
I feel he should be. Jerry, don't forget, this was before the stats for quarterback. Sure. Sacks were an official stat.
Yeah.
And to me, he should be in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And I think some of those guys that were really good and on the defensive side of the ball, and trust me, there was a lot of them.
Yeah, know? Right.
We've talked about this before. The problem was, you know, the offense was horrific, and you know, and we always joked, or at least I always joked about Dave Jennings was the best offensive player they had. You know,
right.
But guys like John Mendenhall, never received the recognition, Jerry, they should have, because of the losing. You know,
right?
If those teams won playoff games and maybe even a Super Bowl, Jerry, you would have heard about John Mendenhall. He would, in my opinion. He would have been in the Giants' Ring of Honor without question, you know. And there's a few guys from that era, Jerry, that are not in the ring. I feel they should be. And sad to hear it, man. Mendenhall, 72 is not an old age anymore, dude.
No, I know. That's awfully young.
So, but John was a class act. You could talk about, you know, in a few minutes, the interview you had with him, you know.
Yeah.
And he really appreciated that. I know you told me that, and you could get into that in a second. And I'm sad to see it go, but John Mendenhall, for people who don't know or just heard about him, was a real good defensive lineman.
Yeah, you know, Chris, from that era, it's only Brian Kelly, Brad Van Pelt, and Dave Jennings. Other than, I mean, Carson and Martin are in, obviously. But guys that didn't win Super Bowls, right? It, from that era, it only seems to be guys from the 81 team or that made it that far. Like, there's Mendenhall, there's Spider Lockhart, Bob Tucker, you know, Johnson, right? And I don't, Ron Johnson, I think you dumb down the Ring of Honor a bit when you put too many in, but these were warriors. These were guys who played on some horrible teams who should be in, right? And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said Mendenhall is kind of at the top of that list. He's a guy who, you know, I think his best season, if sacks were a stat, would have been 12 sacks for an interior lineman. And that's like Aaron Donald numbers, right? So, now, you saw him play. My father used to talk about him. I think he was a third-round pick in 72 out of Grambling.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, man, when I interviewed him, I kind of stalked him. It was hard to find him around the country, right? So he didn't have Twitter, and I'm just typing in John Mendenhall, and there's a million. There were a lot of them, right? And it came up Rufus Mendenhall, which was his middle name.
That was his middle name, yeah.
And I'm like, huh, Rufus Mendenhall. Let me check this guy out. So, dude, I must have called 10 numbers. People were like, who? I got it, dude. Wrong number, right? Like, I went in full stalker mode. Right. I'm like, I am interviewing. Then I was on a mission. Like, I'm interviewing John Mendenhall, right? And, you know, I did it before I did it in 2017 before my dad died. So he actually got to read it, which is very cool, which is, I think, part of the reason that I went in full stalker mode. And he, Chris.
I'm sure your dad loved John.
Oh, I loved him. Loved him.
He
could not be more gracious. It was almost like he was glad that someone reached out to him. It was so like, he was like, sure, Jerry, I'll talk to you. And he was such a nice man. And it was like, I said, you know, you can see it in the interview. I posted it a couple of days ago. You know, do you feel like you should be in the Ring of Honor? And he said, yeah. And he's like, you know, hey, John, I think when he hung up with me, he's like, hey, tell Mr. Mara, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh man, like, I don't know why there's some guys that just, they haven't made the cut, but whatever. It was such a nice man. Like you said, 72's not old now. And yeah, it's a shame. That's all.
You know what, Jerry? I tell you what, my man.
Yeah.
You know, I run into John Mara a lot. You know, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
I run into him at the games sometimes.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, last year, the COVID thing. I don't know what's going to happen this year. But pre-COVID, I used to run into him at the facility.
Yeah.
And I always, I think I even talked to, well, I told you on the side a few times.
I know where you're going with this one.
We shared a bathroom together during halftime of games. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get into it, okay?
number one or number two?
Yeah. So it was a quick one, so you know where we're going with this. So, I tell you what, Jerry. The next time I run into John Mara,
yeah,
and I actually could grab him for a few seconds, I'm going to ask him.
Yeah.
You know, very respectfully, you know, about John Mendenhall.
And, yeah, good.
And I hope, John obviously, John considers it because he was a great Giant, in my opinion, And
yeah.
And you could, you know what, Jerry, you tracked him down.
Yeah.
And he was so appreciative, right?
Yeah, he was. He really was.
Because those guys back then, they felt they did their job.
Yep.
And they lost games because they couldn't get a first down on offense.
Yeah.
You had tomatoes like Craig Morton throwing to the other jerseys.
Yeah.
You had an offensive line that was a bunch of tomatoes.
Yeah.
I had a receiver that couldn't get open, if there was nobody on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
And this is what we lived through in the 70s. And, I'm not going to get into like I'm Johnny nostalgic, but I'm just telling you the way it was. The point I'm making is that...
Well, you sat in the stadium, though, and had to watch it live.
Yeah, I was in 306,
Right.
The point I'm saying is that, Jerry, there was so many games, dude.
Yeah.
That guys like John Mendenhall used to walk to the sideline, would take their helmet off and, just have it on their side and with their head down. Yeah. Losing a 20-16 game, 20-13 game,
Right.
Losing to the Cowboys again. And a game, if they had any kind of offense, maybe they could have won.
Yeah.
So I remember specifically, Jerry, a few times, Mendenhall going to the sideline, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the bench and just putting his head back, Jerry, like staring to the sky, like, what the hell do we have to do to win a game? Can't we get an offense here,
Right.
And that's so they were overlooked, Jerry, so I'm sure. When you got in touch with him and said, hey, Jerry, John, we want to talk, Giant Insider, we want to talk about your career, my man,
Yeah.
I'm sure that's why he was so appreciative, because they were overlooked, dude.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of good defensive players.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, Jerry. It's a shame. But I'm glad you tracked him down years ago. I'm glad your dad got a chance to read it. And because he deserves that recognition, dude.
Well said. Yep, I can't possibly add anything to that. God bless John Mendenhall. He's in a better place now, and what a great Giant he was. I'll leave it at that, man. Nice work, Chris. All right.
Well, speaking of old-timers coming back.
Yes, there you go.
I guess that'll lead us right into the offensive line coach in the Coughlin era, Pat Flaherty, coming back. How about that? Judge getting in touch with him. And adding him to the staff as an offensive line consultant, Jerry, I guess that's something that's a positive, no?
Yeah, and he was there when guys like O'Hara were there and Soibert, free agents from other teams or out of college who were not household names but became great, great Giants. So I like this hire as a consultant role. I think, I like that Sale's there to coach them, and I like that Flaherty's brought in as a consultant. I don't think it could hurt. Especially after last year. And I like that they're trying to right the wrongs from last year, right? Colombo didn't work. DeGuglielmo, he did okay for a while. But even you said, like, this guy wears thin on, at least with the media. I'm not sure about internal. But he's kind of a wild card. So, yeah, I'm pretty thrilled with this. And I like that Joe Judge is able to kind of pivot quickly and make corrections on his coaching staff. I mean, you saw him do it last season, midseason. And he's just, this only helps us, I think.
Jerry, I wrote this in the last Insider that's hitting the stands now, and people will be getting it, right? They should be getting it by now or real soon, okay?
Yep.
I felt this was the only real hiccup in Judge's first season.
Yeah.
Why is that, Chris? Well, the offensive line didn't play well, except for one little stretch.
Right.
Judge jumps in, doesn't like the progress of Andrew Thomas and some of the other guys. And he kind of jumps in and says, no, I want him to start. I want you to start. He tells Colombo, I want you to start teaching this technique.
Right.
Colombo's like, F you. They go at it one day. Colombo gets fired.
Right.
So that didn't go well.
Right.
Brings in Dave DeGuglielmo. Right. Okay. Knows him. He comes in. Offensive line didn't really improve on the Googs,
Right.
They didn't finish well. I think we could all agree on that. They did not finish well. Thomas finished well, pretty good at time. You know, he was pretty strong. He finished.
Yeah, I would say there was a middle stretch where they did okay, and then it fell apart.
Right.
Again. Yeah, yeah.
So, and then, you know, I heard a report that they tried to come to terms with Googs, didn't work out, and Judge, yeah. and they went their separate ways. Googs winds up going to a college, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't like Judge was like, hey, we got to get this done, you know?
Right, I want
this guy here.
Yeah.
Didn't happen like that. It was like, okay, Dave, this is what we're going to, you know, this is the offer. They threw some numbers around. Googs, being a headstrong guy he was, felt he was worth, he got another offer, and they parted ways.
Right.
So Judge is trying to get this down here, you know what I mean? This is two offensive line coaches in one season, right? One of them, he had to jump in himself and feel like he had to, you know, kind of rescue the unit, right?
Right.
Okay, so now he goes to the young guy, Robert Sale, and then he brings in Pat Flaherty, right?
Yeah.
To me, Jerry, it's like Judge is saying to himself and the organization, all right, that Bisignano moron in the Giant Insider is right. Maybe this was my little hiccup.
Yeah, right.
I got to get this straight. Maybe he feels, hey, I don't like the progress. I'm going through coaches. I don't like the way I didn't get this down. I didn't get this 100%. Right. I got to get this right, you know?
Right.
He brings in a sale. We're going to see how this works out. And then brings in another consultant and the old-time, the old-time coach who did a hell of a job at the Giants, Pat Flaherty, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see if it works out now. But I find it interesting, Jerry. This is like the fourth guy now.
Yeah.
And a little over a year that Judge has brought in to try to get this right, you know?
It's funny, man. It's with regard to bringing all the different players that we've had the last 3 years and all the different coaches now, it's like, man, we got to get this offensive line right, right? Like, you think about all the different players, the moving parts over the last 3 years, and it was Gettleman, right? And the different coaching staffs, and now four guys in 2 years coaching them. It's like, God, we got to figure this out. Or, you know, you can talk about all the receiving weapons you want for Daniel Jones. If you don't have the offensive line, that's why we can get into it another time, but if the right guy's there at 10, I'm at 11, I'm not going to be upset, dude. I'm going to be an adult about it. But obviously we'll get into a lot of that later, but yeah, this offensive line, Chris, has to be fixed. And you would think Flaherty's only going to add to the success of that. So,
and Jerry, you bring up a great point, dude. You could have all the Allen Robinsons and Kenny Galladay's and Chase's and, you know, Waddle's all you want.
Yeah.
If nobody's blocking up for Jones, it ain't going to mean crap.
Right.
So this has got to get corrected, man. You know?
Yeah.
And they're looking, obviously, the experience of Pat Flaherty is looking, they're looking to take this line and whoever comes in now, you know?
Yeah.
To another level. They got to improve, Jerry. They have to improve. They got, you know, if this is the same type of performance from this line in 2021, it's going to be the same old story, dude.
Yeah. And then Gettleman's got. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the way I felt. I saw that high. I was like, man, Judge is, he's hammering away at this. You know, I got to get this right, you know?
Yeah.
Which is good.
Right.
Which is good. I don't know this for a fact, but for all we know, maybe Judge wasn't 100% happy with Googs's, what happened under Googs's watch, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like I said, they won't go into the end of the world to try to keep him, dude.
Yeah, they did not exactly open the vault to say, we got to keep this guy. Right. So he was a...
This doesn't go against the cap, Jerry. So if Judge went to Mara and Gettleman, hey, this is my guy. We got to make this work. Okay, Joe, we'll make it work. You know, did you get that sense? No, it was like he was gone, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another coach in another sport that's a quick fix that you know is not going to work, but at least for a while, it's like, he'll do for now. Like, and I'm struggling to come up with somebody, but it's almost like a hired gun that you need for like a year and say, all right, let's try and fix this. And then we know that he's not the long-term solution. Let's just get this over with. And then we'll bring in, who we hope is the longer term guy. Yeah. So,
well, if you want to talk a little hockey quickly, that's like a Claude Julien with the Bruins. All right, let's get him in here, try to make a run at the cup quick.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And then he goes to Montreal, whatever. Same thing. And, all right, get rid of him.
Yeah, right.
You know?
That's not a bad one. Yeah. Yep.
So.
All right.
Nate Solder, Jerry. Let's stay on the line for 1 second. We'll get into cuts that are going to happen. You know,
I was going to ask about put out a tweet that they're you're meeting with the Gettleman and Judge will be meeting with you guys March 9th. I didn't know if you were going to ask him about anything related to the line in that one. And I don't, look, I don't want to give your questions away, but I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that first, but we could stay on Nate Solder as well. So,
yeah, well, listen, if nothing's happened by then, you could ask, I should say, I could ask, you know, what are we looking at with Solder? And they're not going to really get into it.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
You know, we obviously talk to me about free agency.
Yeah.
How aggressive, what could they do? You know what I mean? All that.
Yeah.
But as far as Nate Solder, you know, a lot of people ask, right?
Yep.
What do you think's going to happen, Solder? I think we talked about it. Ian Rappaport came out with a tweet report last week saying that, hey, Solder's back. He's not playing at this contract, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to have to restructure.
Yep.
We talked about that a couple of days before that. It was like, you know, Solder comes back. If he doesn't retire, they're going to tell him, okay, Nate, you're not playing at that cap number.
Right. You're not making this money.
You're going to have to restructure.
Right.
If he says no, which is his option.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Now, would I like to see him in at a lower cap number, Jerry, and compete for that right tackle? Yeah, sure, I would. I got to be honest with you. You know, I really would.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at with Nate Solder.
I got a question for you on Solder. Not that we care about dead money. If they cut him before June 1st, it's around $10 million that they save. $6 million. I'm sorry, Chris. If they cut him pre-June 1, it's $6 million. If they cut him after June 1, it's $10 million. Now, you can't sign someone and say, oh, don't worry, guys. By the time season comes, we'll be under the cap. It's all real time with the cap. Do you see him possibly being a post-June 1, or would they say, you know what, we got to free up $6 million now, we got to do it now?
I'm glad you brought that up, Jerry, because a lot of people ask that. Why don't you just wait to June 1st? But here's the thing. You need the money for free agency.
Right, right. It's not like, guys, it's not like you could say, oh, don't worry. It's not like Goodell says, oh, no, the Giants are over now, but they'll be down by September. Don't worry about it, guy. We're good. No. Okay.
The reason why you cut these guys before June 1st is because you need that cap money for free agency.
Right.
Unless everybody be getting cut after June 1st, you know?
There's a time value to this. Right.
March 17th, actually March 15th, you can legally start talking to players, agents, right?
Right.
March 17th is the first official day of free agency in the league year. You want 12, 14, 16, 18 million, whatever it is, to start playing around a little bit.
Right.
You can't wait to June. That's why you don't see many June 1 cuts, unless something happens, you know. And that's the reason. You know, I mean, teams need that money for free agency.
Yeah.
And that's the story with Solder, man. We'll see what he wants to do. You know, there was a report out there. I forgot who put it out there that he's really not. I think it was Jordan Rain on ESPN, where he's not really working out like he usually does.
Right.
I found that a little alarming, Jerry. I found that like he's maybe not thinking about playing, you know?
Yeah, that's a concern. We totally understand why he opted out last year with his son. I completely understand. But if he's not working out, then it's like, all right, well, then let's figure this out now, right? And if you're going to come back, it's going to be less money and we got to renegotiate, or they're just going to cut him and take the $10 million hit probably and save six. So it's something they're going to have to figure out sooner rather than later. You don't want to wait too long. With regard to offensive tackle, look, we talked about Zeitler. He's got to stay. We got to probably renegotiate that, because if they cut him, it's a $12 million gain. But he's too good. He's the best lineman on the team. Is there anyone else in free agency? And I'll read you the list. Look, there's high level guys Gettleman's going to struggle to not sign one of these top guys, because it's loaded with Panthers and ex Panthers, Chris. Right. So first you got Trent Williams, then you got Taylor Moten, Russell Okung, Darrell Williams, Alejandro Villanueva. And then the lower level guys are like Matt Filer, I'm not going to read Mike Remmers, and Kevin Belcham, right? So of those guys, is there anyone there that, you know, that they could sign bargain basement wise? I don't see them making a splash on the offensive line, dude.
Yeah, I don't see either. And a lot of those guys are left tackles too. And, you know, that they're set at. And the big right tackles that are going to be available, Darrell Williams and Tyler Moten, you know, and they're going to be demanding a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. No, I don't.
I mean, a guy like Beecham, he can move around a bit, I guess, but I mean, I don't know.
He's a right tackle, Beecham. That's one guy you could plug in there at a 1 year deal or something. But he's
like Fleming, like, yes. Okay.
Yeah, but he had a nice year, Beecham, last year.
Yeah.
A really nice year. So he's going to get some money too, man.
Yeah.
But look, Jerry, speaking of cuts, you know, listen, next week, there's going to be a lot of big names on the market, dude.
Yeah.
It's going to be a massacre, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because of what's going on with the COVID, the cap, and all that.
Right.
You saw a little taste of it yesterday when Kyle Van Noy got it. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Dolphins cleared up some space. Here's a guy who was on a four-year deal, played well for them last year. Boom. He gets cut.
We got about 75 questions on Van Noy, so you want to address it now real quick?
Yeah. What do you think? Well, obviously Van Noy would be a nice little signing. You know? Okay. Yes. I mean, he would fit well in Patrick Graham's system. He's a very versatile dude. He could play the inside, play outside. He's on the line. He's off, you know, the whole deal. Gets to the quarterback a little bit, gets pressures. Nice little player, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's had a nice career, man. And, obviously, so he would be a nice fit for the Giants. No question about it.
Yeah.
But just that, you know, Jerry, you're going to see a lot of names, brother.
Yeah.
And it got what's going to be this free agency is going to be a lot of one-year deals.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because, one, the cap's going to go skyrocket in 2022.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So these players are not dumb. A lot of these guys are going to sign one-year deals, and boom, they're going to get their money. If they have a good, nice season, they're going to get their money in 2022, Jerry, because after these TV deals are done, the cap's going to go up to like 205, 210, 215. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the way this offseason is going to work, man. You're going to see a lot of big names getting cut next few weeks. You're going to see guys signing one-year deals.
One-year deals, yep.
And then you got, you know, the teams with the good, you know, with the cap money, like the Jets and some other team. All right, they'll sign guys 3-4 years, but as far as the Giants, you got to look for a lot of those one-year deals, maybe make that one little splash.
Little surprised I didn't get a text from you last night that there was another guy cut. I think it was last night. The Rangers were on last night, and I saw it come across Twitter. You did tweet it.
Yes.
Yeah. But what's the choice between Tyler Eifert and Kyle Rudolph, Chris? What would you do there?
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler Eifert's had injuries. So he came back last year, played
a good year last year, though.
He played pretty decent for Jacksonville. He, for a guy that's coming off devastating injuries.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, look, I think Kyle Rudolph's got some ball left in him. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
I really do.
Yeah.
And Jerry, if the Giants got him, you know, are we going to be upset at it? No, the guy can still play a little bit, can still block a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he's a Notre Dame guy, so you know he's smart as all hell, you know?
Exactly.
My boy Charlie Weiss already is throwing it out there. I see that.
Right.
Coach Weiss already saying, you're going to get a hell of a player here, smart player, you know, because that's his boy, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, that would be great, you know?
I want a tight end. Like,
he might get one on the 11th pick.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying, right. But whether they keep Ingram or not, we still need one. Like, I'm sorry. We need another tight end, whether it's Eifert or obviously Rudolph goes into, he's the number one guy or number two. Well, if they keep Ingram, he's two. But there's a scenario where if they got rid of Ingram and then they signed Rudolph, I mean, he could be a one-year kind of a holdover, if you will, or maybe 2 year.
Yeah.
But I want a tight end, Chris. We just got it. Yeah, we got to get another one. So.
Yeah. Hey, look, I mean, speaking of the cuts next week, you know, Lavine Tolola should be one of them, right?
Yeah, right.
That'll add 2.9 and, you know, I guess we're all going to see Golden Tate, you know, and then we'll see what happens with Solder and hopefully not Zeitler, but we've talked about it. Would it shock anybody if Zeitler? No, it's $12 million, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of money to save.
I don't expect it, but it's
14 against the cap, $12 million savings right off the bat. Yeah,
absolutely.
But we got to figure out how to
get some cap money, man. They're right around even now, 500,000, whatever, under, something like that. So
yeah, yeah. All right. With regard to another spot that obviously is a need, I think, because there's just too many question marks, Chris, right? You have Lorenzo Carter. You have O'Shane Zimenez. They'll probably sign Kyler Fackrell again to a 1 year, but we don't know. But look, the edge rusher position. Carter was coming into his own and got hurt. I still think it's enough of a question mark to where they should bring someone in, or, you know, if they draft someone, great. Again, that's another spot at 11 that could be the guy. It could be Rousseau from Miami or someone like that. But look, as far as edge rushers go, you have Shaq Barrett, you have Yannick Ngakoue, Trey Hendrickson, Melvin Ingram, Matt Judon, Leonard Floyd, Bud Dupree, obviously Romeo Okwara, the former Giant. But do you see them? Because I put my prediction in the Insider. Do you see them going after an edge rusher in free agency, or what do you think there? And I'm sorry, I should also mention Hassan Reddick, who had, I think, 12 sacks last year, but five were against the Giants.
And 11 were against the Giants.
Right, that concerns me, right? Like, so what do you think, dude?
Yeah. I just don't think they have the cap money to do it.
Okay.
I think they stick with their kids, you know?
Yeah.
They got 40 sacks without a pure edge guy. Leonard Williams comes back, Jerry, which we all expect.
Yes.
That's the key, you know?
Yes.
Leonard comes back, Carter, X, you know, and these other guys, you know, I just don't think. Now, if they go that direction, who you looking at? I mean, it has to be Shaq Barrett, one of them, right?
Oof, my God.
Right? You got some older guys in Justin Houston and Von Miller. I think we could forget about that.
Yeah.
Matt Judon is 29. Okay, you know.
Yeah.
And Bud Dupree's coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and now, Jerry, if they went that direction, I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I think Shaq Barrett, forget about that, okay?
Right.
Money-wise. The guy I like to see brought in is Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, and it writes the 2016 draft for them. Yep.
And a guy read an article the other day on NFL.com about, well, a lot of people, you know what, Leonard Floyd, you're a little concerning about him, you know, Aaron Donald, all that crap, you know?
Yeah.
But then people, you know, the same article about how this guy, and we talked about this, man.
Yeah.
It seems like the light bulb has gone on with this guy. He's a good cover guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He gets to the quarterback and all that, and he really played well last year. And it wasn't, obviously Aaron Donald helps a lot, you know, but you can't just say, all right, you know, it's Aaron Donald, like, you know. You got to look at everything, his whole body of work. And that's the guy I would like to see. You know, he's young, Jerry. He's still pretty young. He's 28. You know, that's the guy I like to see targeted, if they even go the direction. I just don't know, you know, if they're going to make this work money-wise.
There's also Carter Coughlin and Cam Brown. Carter Coughlin flashed last year. Mm-hmm. It's just that when you take them all together and you throw them in a stew, it's like, well, we still don't know if we have the ingredients for a meal here. Like, it's just, it's a lot of question marks. There's potential. There, you know, Carter, Zimenez, Fackrell. Carter Coughlin. When I said Lorenzo Carter, Carter Coughlin, Cam Brown. Like, that's five names that could be really special or just pedestrian again. So I just think there's got to be someone. Like, they obviously, look, Jabal Sheard, Trent Harris. They're not gonna make it back. I don't think. Unless they're thinking someone in the draft, I'm expecting someone to come in free agency, dude.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah. And you notice after the 40 sacks and Leonard Williams getting 11 and a half last year, you notice you're not reading so much about, they got to get an edge guy.
Right, right.
You know?
That's true.
I think a lot of people in the organization have faith in, A, Leonard Williams is coming back.
Yeah.
B, Graham has, you know, these schemes, you know, because like we talked about, 40 sacks they wound up with, if I think I even wrote an article. If I would have said, hey, Jerry, I think the Giants are going to get 40 sacks last August, you would have said, all right, Chris, you're fired.
I think it would have been launched or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, nobody expected Leo, but now, you know, there's so many things, you know, so many schemes with Graham.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't mean you're not going to look, doesn't mean you're not going to draft an outside edge guy, whatever it might be, second round or third round. And who knows, Jerry, they might even go with the kid from Miami in the first round.
Yeah, right. Yep.
We don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, we feel that they understand that they have to get a playmaker for Jones, but we don't know that for sure, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So we'll see how it plays out, man. I just don't think they have the money for one of these big guys, dude. I really don't. So I'd say they come back. And look, Jerry, I put something on Twitter last week, and I was watching Lorenzo Carter, his first, you know, I think he had hurt in game five, whatever it was, right?
Yes.
Yep. I really liked what he was doing, man.
Four or five, yeah. Yeah.
I really liked what he was doing on film.
Yeah.
And obviously everybody remembers it too, how well he was playing. But I was watching all of his plays, and I was watching things he was doing. And he's a kid that really seems to have gotten it, man. And then he went down with that bad injury. So hopefully he recovers from that. We'll get him back, you know. I think they're relying on him being a pretty good edge guy too. So,
I got another question for you. I don't think I asked you this last week, but I'm going to ask you. If I did, I apologize. I don't think I did. With the Giants needing a receiver as much as they do, okay, on the outside, not a slot guy. By the way, did you see the fight that Smalls had with everybody yesterday and had us on Twitter in the middle of it, going back and forth with, we don't need another slot receiver.
Yeah.
So that was pretty funny.
Stephanie, she doesn't want Curtis Samuel.
Right. By the way, Stephanie, we printed that they're going to get Curtis Samuel. It doesn't mean we want him. So just FYI. Don't come at us. At least me. I said I think they're going to get Samuel, but it's not necessarily what I want. But here's a question, Chris. If they don't sign a receiver in free agency, are they almost forced to do it at 11?
Jerry, they better, dude.
Right. That's been my argument all
they
along.
They better.
Right.
And, you know, especially after the end of the year presser when they talk about we need playmakers. We got to get Daniel Jones playmakers. They said it.
Right. You can't wait for the second round for that, I don't think.
Jerry, if one of those big receivers are there, look, if they go somewhere else, it's going to be like,
but my concern is that they'll all be gone and we don't sign anyone in free agency, dude.
Oh, well, that's what I'm worried about. That's a whole other story, Jerry. Now you're looking at option, you know, the second option, right?
But I'm saying, like, that's a failure, I think. Like, if that's why we're almost painted into a corner to have to sign somebody in free agency as a kind of a contingency plan, I would think. I don't know.
Jerry, look, we'll see which direction you're going. I don't know if they're going to have the money to do this. But there's ways, right? So if they go after, so you're saying they basically have to go after like a Galladay or something like that.
Somebody, even if they may go after Samuel and say, we got our guy because he's so versatile.
Jerry, man, I tell you what, dude, there's a big difference between a receiver and a true number one receiver.
I agree, but I still think they might do a Samuel and say, all right, we got a guy. They still may go receiver at 11, but it's a contingency plan for them. And I agree with you. It's not ideal, but they may do it.
We'll see. I hope not. You know?
All right. Yeah, we'll see.
Because that's not, you know, Curtis Samuel could play the outside and all that, but I'm talking a true outside number one receiver.
He's not a one. Right.
I'm sorry, but if they go that direction, then I guess what, Jerry, to me, that's like, what are we doing? You know,
I love that line. What are we doing here? Whether it's looking at plays or constructing a roster, what are we doing?
I know a lot of people like him and they're like that. I'm not saying I don't like Curtis Samuel.
Right.
You know, I do.
Right.
I just don't think, like, you know, I just don't think that's what, you know, we got to get that true outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
what else in free agency did you want to touch on? Anything else before we get to Twitter questions? Any other positions? Any other notable cuts? The J.J. Watt dream, guys, is dead. So anybody who thought we may get him, that was never going to happen, and we knew it. But
yeah, that's we knew that. I mean, that wasn't even a question. I was just surprised. And you know what, Jerry? I'm glad you brought up J.J. Watt because it's like, I think I said this last offseason, the offseason before that.
Yeah.
Don't be believing everything you read.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much crap out there. Right. People want to put out there. You know, did anybody know that J.J. Watt was looking at Arizona?
No, right.
Nobody.
Right.
All right, so they had one guy, 300 reports. It's narrowed down to three teams. Buffalo, Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
And he winds up going to Arizona. So don't, so many people want to put this stuff out there, put things out there this time of year, especially with draft season or... Yeah, I love what people put out there. Like, you know, people write, oh, there's no way Waddle will be there at 11 for the Giants. There's no way this guy's going to be there. You know, oh, forget about this guy. You know, I mean, history has proven that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the draft.
Right.
As far as these big free agents, you don't know who's going to come in at the last second, right?
Yeah.
So there's so much crap out there, man. Just, you know, don't believe everything you read, man. You know, because J.J. Watt's a prime example. Nobody was talking about him in Arizona. Where does he go? Arizona.
Right. Yeah. That was kind of out of nowhere, too. So,
but speaking of free agents, Jerry. And you're listening to Jerry Foley and Chris Bisignano on the Giant Insider podcast. Jerry, how about some of the best free agent signings that Giants have ever had?
Oh, God. Talk about good memories, dude. Yeah. Let's have at it real quick, right?
Like, yeah.
Akorsi was great at it, wasn't he? Yep. There were so many draft picks he made that I would, you know, I'd want to launch something at the television set You know, Luke Pettigrew, a lot of the first round ones, William Joseph, Ron Dane. I admit I liked Ron Dane when it was made, but there was a lot of picks he made where I'm like, Vashante Shanko in the third round. So enough of that. Free agency, man. He friggin' nailed it. He killed it in free agency.
Well, I mean, look, Jerry Plaxico, right?
Right, right. Antonio Pierce.
Pierce.
O'Hara.
Kareem McKenzie's.
Yeah.
He Sean O'Hara.
Right.
I mean, yeah. These guys won Super Bowls, right?
Incredible. Incredible.
What would you say was the best one? Would you have Plax number one?
Yes. Wow, yes. Okay. He's my guy. Oh, God. The 2008 still kills me.
Yeah.
Yes, because he was so big in big games. You know, I know. I'm not saying he dogged it, but there were times during the season where he wasn't practicing because he said he had a knee injury. And I don't know. I can't get inside somebody's head. But man, did he show! So I'm saying, if there was any thought of that, man, did that guy show up in the playoffs? You know, he was hurt in the Super Bowl, right? He made the point that he couldn't even like cut right because of his knee. So he was shocked he was even open for that touchdown. But what he did to Al Harris after hearing all week about Harris, I think the Green Bay announcer said Harris must be freezing because he's undressed right now. Plaxico is undressing him. So yeah, Burris, Pierce. I don't want to overlook O'Hara. Like you said, you named a great one in McKenzie that gets too overlooked too often. And then there's also like college free agent that he got, like Rich Soibert, right? Like he found him. I forget what school he went to in 2001. But yeah, as far as like actual free agents,
How about Antro Roll?
Roll was another one. Roll was so much of a no brainer because he was taking over for CC Brown. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was Kenny Phillips got hurt. And then he came back and they brought in Roll. I think it was 2010. I mean, Roll's got to be up there as well.
So number one, in the modern era, you're going
it's
with...
so hard.
You're going with Plax.
Burris.
Yeah, I agree, man.
He made everyone... Jim Johnson, the great defensive coordinator for the Eagles said it. When he went down, we knew we had him. I mean, what does that say? Yeah. That alone. I got to go with Burris.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it was a lot. Look, the Giants have really hit it in that time period, free agents. And I agree with you, man. I think Plax was probably their best free agent signing. Unless there's somebody we're missing totally, I'll go with Plax. And people listening, you know, hey, throw it on Twitter, man, if you feel somebody's better. Look, I'm sure there's some Antonio Pierce guys out there say, hey, you know what? How about Pierce, you know?
Great
and
player.
I'm not going to argue with you, you know?
So. And we're not talking about like plan B, like Everson Walls. Like that was a great pickup. Different. That was plan B. Great player. But you know, in the modern era, it's modern era, but you know what I mean? The last 20 years. Burris, Roll. I think Burris and Roll are one and two for me. Because Antro Roll, you could argue that he was such a leader on defense for them in 2011. He was only there his second year. I mean, he had Tuck in that locker room too. But, you know, Roll was the guy that seemed to get them going. And he was a good safety.
Absolutely. He was a captain, you know, the whole deal. He was the man. He was excellent, you know. Same. And Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
Hey, who could forget that tackle he made on a screenplay, right?
Huge, huge play.
In Green Bay. Interceptions against the Cowboys during the 07 season.
Yeah.
A leader on that defense. A kid, a real tough dude, man.
I'll give you another one. Under the radar guy who helped somebody young on our team. I'll give you one. Sam Madison,
yep. Really
He helped Corey Webster. He said this kid's got all the tools. He's just got to get it together.
Yep. And Madison's doing a hell of a job in Kansas City right now.
Right.
As we speak, as a coach.
Right.
How about a little unsung guy that was big in 07, Jerry? R.W. McCordis.
That's another one. Yeah, he was not best
free agent
signing,
but I'm saying another unsung free agent guy. Of his business, right?
There's a picture on my wall of him intercepting Tony Romo's pass. So no,
right,
it's fine,
right?
And
that game,
Kavika Mitchell.
Kavika Mitchell was big in 07, big sack in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, and he had a touchdown in the Bills game, I think, at the end of the season. So yes, yeah, I could talk about this for this could be a whole podcast for God's sake.
So.
Sorry, I'm thinking about him now as you say it.
So we agree.
Such good memories.
Obviously, there's a lot of good ones, but the best one we agree is probably Plax.
Has to be.
Okay.
Has to be.
All right.
Yeah, and I wasn't thrilled when they got him. It was like, the guy. I remember him as the guy. I remembered him as the guy who slid, got up, and spiked the ball without being touched.
Yeah, look, he had some baggage coming when he came over to the Giants. There was some baggage on him, no question.
I think he did it against Jacksonville. He caught it, slid, got up, and spiked it.
Yeah.
But one thing I remember, look it up, guys. I'm not looking up, I swear. I think he averaged 19.9 before he came to the Giants, and that was the number that stuck out at me at the time. Yeah. And I thought, all right, well, it was high. Put it that way. It was high.
Yep.
Yards per catch.
Yep. So, dude. Hey, good stuff.
Thanks for bringing that up. It's like a therapy session.
And well, you'll get him with some real good free agent signings last year. Let's see if he could, it might not be much, as much of a splash because of the cap restriction. But if he brings in a few guys this year who are as good as who had such an impact, like Blake Martinez did, and Gettleman really had a great free agent signing class.
I was going to say, over the last 3 years, who would you say Gettleman's best one was, if you had to pick one?
Probably Blake, right?
Or Bradbury.
Or Bradbury, yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at those two guys this year.
Forget it.
So.
Good stuff, buddy. Excellent. Nice job. All right. Question time. We are 42 minutes in. This time flies by. Thank you for all your responses right away. We sent out the email this morning. We'll kick it off with an old favorite, Adriana Iafola. She's the first one up on the list. Looking like no Galladay or Robinson in free agency, and a lot of mock drafts are predicting Pitts, Waddle, Chase, and Smith will all be gone by the Giants pick. Well, thanks, Adriana. That's great. If that is the case, what do they do about wide receiver? Another free agent or pick another round? Hashtag buffoon crew. And that's the bad scenario that I just talked about. Like, one of those four is not there, and they don't sign a big-time one.
Second round receiver pick.
Well, I think it's going to be Curtis Samuel and another guy and a second rounder. Yes, that's my prediction. I'm sticking with it.
Oh, I thought you meant they didn't sign any free agents.
Said looking like no big free agent. Like, what's the plan? Oh. Another free agent or pick another round?
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying Curtis Samuel and it would be round two. Yeah. And maybe a trade up for a guy because they cannot afford to not get a guy that they think is number one. So, let's see. We talked about Tomlinson and Williams, guys. I'm really sorry. Here's one from Chris at 56GVN64. Should they trade Zibanejad, Kakko, and prospects for Eichel? Ooh, sorry, wrong podcast. If the Giants lose out in the top four, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so we just talked about that. I will answer that one, Chris. Would I trade those three for Eichel? Yes, I would do it right now because I've had it right now with the Rangers. I know they won last night, but I'm just seeing some bad things from guys that I expected a lot more from. So, but that's another podcast, like you said, Chris. All right, Kerry Feliciano, if you became available, would you guys want Zach Ertz? If so, how much do you think he'll command in the open market? I hate the Eagles, but Ertz, blah, 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 blah. What do you think, Chris?
Would we want Zach Ertz? I would have no problem.
I'd pick him up.
I would no problem with Zach Ertz. Yep.
I'd go to Philly or wherever, South Jersey, pick him up. He's going to be expensive as hell, though, no?
Well, Jerry, I don't know. Look, this is a different offseason free agent-wise because of the cap.
Yeah, it's true.
With the COVID thing. So I don't know what these guys are going to get.
I keep saying that, and then you keep reminding me that. Right, it is. You're right.
It's a different just going to be different with these numbers, man. So I can't even give it a guess on that, man. I really can't.
Yeah. The Mecca of NYG. Hey, boys, as we get closer to the deadline to tag players, how worried are you about Williams not getting signed in time and then they have to tag him again? Are you concerned about that?
Sure. Everything. You should always be concerned with negotiations. To the signatures on the dotted line, man.
Yeah.
So.
Jeff Johnson, seeing a lot of talk about pursuing Kyle Van Noy. Is it a red flag that he was released after 1 year of a four-year contract, Chris?
No, it's not a red flag because I saw him play a lot last year and he played really well. So, it was puzzling. But like I just said a little while ago, you're going to see a lot of that coming up.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to see a lot of names that go, wow, why did this guy get it? Is that a flag? What's going on with this guy? What? Nah, that's the way it's going to be, man. A lot of big names are going to get it. I'm telling you, wait. Wait till the next podcast. You're going to probably hear a few more.
Yeah. Keith. I don't know how to spell it. Coach Keith. At Coach Keith J. How about that? I've seen Jabril Peppers' name floated a few times as a potential cut candidate. I'm assuming people looking for clicks. I would think that's a... Oh, keep up the amazing content. Thanks, buddy. Hashtag Buffoon Crew. Who the hell's cutting Jabril Peppers, Chris? I saw that yesterday.
I didn't... Did you read that? I never read
that. I've read it from an account where I'm just like, dude, are we just making shit up now? Come on.
This is why...
like you just said it, I know.
I don't study Twitter like that because it's so ridiculous.
It was something that popped up and it's like, Jabril Pepper's name has been floated around and I'm like, dude, what? No. By who?
Well, there's a lot of people this time of year try to get followers.
I guess.
You know.
That sucks.
You know, I like people, you know, there's people out there trying to act like they know about rumors in the NFL. Oh, Leonard Williams is going to be signed next week. Come on. A lot of stuff out there. Just take it with a grain of salt.
Rob Ford at Rob Ford 1990. I like questions like this. Would you trade our first, even though we said Trace, would you trade our first round pick straight up for either Isaiah Simmons or Jeff Okuda, Chris? UK buffoon crew.
If those receivers are on that, our first round for Simmons or Okuda?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Man, we need a receiver bad, but you know what? Okuda is going to be phenomenal, man.
All right, that means Julian Love goes fourth string, pal.
I'm going to go with no if one of those receivers are on the board still.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. If one of those receivers are there, you got to do it. Absolutely. Let's see. All things Giants, C&J. Giants Twitter salivating for an offensive playmaker, and rightly so. If there, would you be opposed to grabbing Slater in the first and address playmakers later? Cornerback, then playmakers, or is it now? Look, man, let's not get cute. Let's not get cute. Let's just take the playmaker if they are there. I said it in January, dude. We need two, right? We cannot go into the seat. Like, right now, think about it. We have Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram. They are our primary receivers. I feel good about one, and it's not Slayton and Ingram. So we need two, man. We can't get cute with this. No way, right?
We definitely need one, dude. I'll take two. We definitely need one.
Here's a good question. I like this one. I highlighted it earlier. Seamus Markowitz. For Super Bowl 42, the kids were watching in a different room, and their TV was 10 seconds ahead, which ruined the Tyree catch. Have you ever had a favorite Giants moment ruined by outside forces? I'll hang up and listen. And I'll tell you, I thought about this one, so I'm going to go first if you don't mind.
Okay.
Super Bowl 42. So I'm going to open up the kimono a little bit. We have a ranch house. On our main floor, we have Verizon. That's because we have New York News and Philly local, right? We're in that no man's land of New York and Philly. Downstairs in the man cave, I have DirecTV because I get the Sunday ticket, but that only comes with Philly, right? So we have two different providers in our house. It's stupid, but we just do, right? Verizon's ahead of DirecTV. So when Burris caught that touchdown back in 07, I will say my brother-in-law, who is a Raider fan, very good dude, walked downstairs afterwards and goes, I saw it happen 10 seconds ago. I didn't want to say anything. So kudos to him for not ruining it. We were all downstairs. And I wanted to add to this, back in the 80s, a lot of the preseason games were played the next morning on a replay.
Yep.
So my dad, I would get the paper. My dad would not look at it and say, don't you dare tell me who won. My dad was insane with even with preseason. He wanted to watch every play, of every game. And it wasn't like keeping stats or anything, but he didn't want to have it ruined. So I would say my dad was kind of taught me from an early age, you don't do that. And you have to be cognizant of it when the situation arises. So even with preseason, he would say, don't tell me who won, close the paper, read it later. And he would have to watch the replay of the Giant game. So I knew who won, but couldn't say anything. So it just kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah.
So Seamus, hell of a question, buddy. Good job.
Yeah. I remember those days your dad was talking about it. I remember when it used to be on at midnight.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
And then on the next day, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So imagine that when you think about that now, Jerry.
Yeah.
That the preseason games used to be on at midnight.
Crazy.
On a rewind.
Crazy.
Yeah. Is that crazy, man?
It really is.
Yeah. So it used to stay up to midnight, and then it used to show the next day.
Yeah.
I believe it was like a modified version, if I remember right. Not the whole game. I could be wrong in that, though. But
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember that part of it. Might have been.
So, unbelievable, man.
Yeah, and he wouldn't stay up, so he was like, all right. Don't open the paper, kid. Yep. You'll be punished for the week. Yep. Oh, my God. Anyway, good stuff. Great question, Seamus. All right, I'll ask you again because you talked about it last. I think you talked about this last week, but I'll ask you anyway. David Mullary, maybe you didn't. Hey, Giant Insider, what do you think of Will Fuller, Chris?
Look, I always loved Will. The problem with Will Fuller is that he just can't stay healthy.
Right, right.
You know, so are you going to invest all this money? You know, look, he's a great vertical threat. He really was playing well without DeAndre Hopkins this year, you know, with Watson and all that. He was having a really nice season. He got hurt a little bit. I think that's a suspension. To me, I just don't touch it because the dude is always hurt, you know.
Right, right.
But, look, I love Will Fuller. I loved him in Notre Dame. He came here, did the same big-time vertical threat. Then he started expanding his route tree more as the years, you know, especially with no DeAndre last year. I like him, but his injury history just concerns me is why I wouldn't touch him.
Fair enough. Fubar at, I can't pronounce it. Why isn't there more interest / conjecture in Parsons? Some evaluators are saying he's a better prospect than Devin White. I know we need offensive help, but a game-altering linebacker is something we haven't had in earnest for a long time. No disrespect to Blake Martinez. I think there would be, Fubar, if the Giants didn't need a receiver so badly. I think he would. He's totally. He might be on the table at 11. And again, not going to be a guy I'm too upset with. But yeah, it's just we need receivers badly. We need receivers too badly.
Yeah, you hit it right in the head, man. If the Giants didn't need a receiver, I think you'd be reading about Parsons a lot.
Yeah. All about NYG. Loudest.
And the other guy. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And the other guy, the kid from Miami, Rousseau. You know.
Rousseau. Yeah. Yeah. All about NYG. Loudest game and stadium you've ever been to. # buffoon crew. For me, the loudest game, and I don't have the history that you have of going to the games because I know which one you're going to say. Mm. I'll say the Eagles game, the playoff game in 2000. That was the loudest I've ever heard Giant Stadium when Ron Dixon returned that opening kickoff. Big Blue VCR, I think, has even alluded to that as well. Again, guys, if you're not following, please do. Big Blue VCR said that's the loudest I've ever heard that stadium. The loudest venue, I think it's that one. I mean, I've been to the vet before with those animals for a Giants game, and it gets pretty loud, but that game was insane for me.
Yeah. Was it more than a Viking game?
A little more. I know that's weird, but it just seemed like that opening kickoff, the place exploded. I think maybe Chris throughout the game, maybe the Viking game overall, but like that moment
place exploded
in that game.
With Dixon. Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No question. Well, the answer for me is I'm still going to stick with the 86 championship game.
Yep, and you should.
Against the Redskins.
Yeah, it's insane. I can't believe – you look back, it's one of those games where it's – for Giant fans, I mean, look, for me, I not to overstate it, but in my opinion, as far as my fandom goes, that's like second to the U.S. beating Russia. Like, if you're at that game, it's like, you were at that game. For me, it's at that Redskins game. Being at that game must have been just insane. I mean, that's if I could go back to a moment in sports history, number one for me would be, the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, and two would be that game at Giant Stadium, because I can't imagine what that was like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was it was something. I wish I was at the 80 U.S. hockey, because that must have been something. But as far as football and Giants stuff goes, yeah. I mean, for me anyway, it doesn't mean, you know, the Eagle game. I remember the Eagle game was live. But yeah, the 86 Giants. Because it was just like so many years just being released, Jerry, you know?
Yeah.
Frustration being released.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it must have been. Because you went through hell in that stadium watching, John Mendenhall struggle and walk over to the sidelines thinking, what the hell?
So, it was just...
like you said before.
Yeah. It was just so many years, Jerry, of frustration and anger and everything like that, just getting released, you know?
Yeah.
Let it out.
Yeah, right.
And Lawrence Taylor, that whole game, man, he kept going to the sidelines and he was pointing at the offensive players, like, you know, before they ran on the field, if he came off and he was pumping up his own guys. And, you know, I remember him, you know, in the face of guys, just not yelling at them, but like, let's, you know, he wanted that shutout. He wanted to dominate. It was just unbelievable. It really was.
Yep.
Sims too, Jerry.
Yeah.
Very vocal. Sims was very animated during that game too.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing the competitive nature of those guys, right? Like, oh my God, leader in offense, leader in defense, just competitive maniacs.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go a couple more. Average Beast, why does it feel like Judge can make any change to the staff except offensive coordinator? Just because you change a play caller doesn't mean you change a system. What do you guys think? Hashtag buffoon crew. Do you think he just wants to give Garrett another chance and put more talent around him, Chris, or what?
Yeah. I think he likes what Garrett does, and they got to get some more talent in here, you know?
All right, we'll go one more. Bobby L. at Sports Freak NJ. Who is the one free agent you both want that is not on the Giants right now? And have fun with it, Chris. Money is no object.
Yeah, obviously. I would say probably Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I would be lured by the appeal of a Shaq Barrett. To be honest with you, I realize what I just said earlier, that we have to, if we don't sign a wide receiver, we got to get one at 11. But I don't know, man, edge guy like that. I think Allen Robinson's a smart one though. How about that?
Well, listen, it's your own opinion, you know?
No, I know, but I'm trying to talk myself out of it because Allen Robinson makes more sense. It's a smarter move.
Yeah. So. I mean, just for what we need, Right. And you say, hey, Chris, you could grab one guy for the Giants. And for what we need, that's why I'm like, it's got to be Allen Robinson. Because, you know, you look at Allen Robinson's numbers under these tomatoes that he was playing for, these quarterbacks, you know?
Yeah, you put a tweet out about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was like, holy crap, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, so, yeah.
That's a good point, man. He's never had a guy, right?
Yeah. He's, you know.
Oh, God, they're awful.
So, this to me, they're just desperate for that real number one to give Jones some help and. You know, and Allen Robinson would be my selection. But can't go wrong with a Shaq Barrett either, brother.
You know, Gettleman got a lot of crap for taking Saquon over Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. Can you imagine taking Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes?
Oof. Oh, God.
And trading up for him to do so, too. That's terrible. Good stuff, man. We're trying to make a dull part of the year fun, and I think we just did it. That was a good one. Anything else, bud?
No, I guess next week we'll talk about Judge and Gettleman.
Yeah, right.
We'll be a few days away from, what's today, Jerry? The 3rd?
Yeah. Today's the 3rd. Free agency really doesn't start till the 17th. So, St. Patrick's Day, baby.
So, we'll be closer to who got cut, who's about to get cut, rumors of who's going to get cut, and obviously we'll be real close to free agency, you know?
And sooner or later, we're going to start talking about the draft, so that's probably coming up over the next couple weeks, guys. So, hope you enjoy it. All right, buddy.
Yeah, and we're going to have a pretty good guest on.
Yes, we will.
That really, in my opinion, breaks down the draft real well. And Rick Cetarella from the Draft Bible.
Yep.
And I read all these things, man. And what I do is, well, because I'm a total buffoon, is that I see what these different guys, draft guys, who they had in the draft, ranked-wise, receiver, edge, offensive tackle, and how they went, you know?
Right.
And Rick is, you know, he's real close with everything, man. As far as rankings, where they drafted and, you know, and all that. So he does a heck of a job, in my opinion. I really enjoy his publication. He direct messaged us the other day saying that, you know, it's coming out really soon. I was happy about that.
Yep.
And he said he'll come on, and it's just a matter of, you know, working out, you know, the times and all that, but we're looking forward to having Rick on, and he's going to break down some stuff for us about, you know, who could fit the Giants, what they're looking for, and certain names. Obviously, Jerry will hit him with the receivers. What do you think about this, that, this, you know?
Yeah.
And corners and, you know, edge guys, whatever it might be, and who Giants could look at 11, and Rick does a heck of a job breaking it down, and I'm looking forward to talking to him, man.
It'll be interesting to see what he says about certain players. And then it's like, all right, well, what do you think the Giants will do, though? Right. So maybe he has an opinion on that as well. But yeah, like he's the man.
Right. Nice. Look, I'm not saying it's the Ten Commandments. I'm not saying it's Moses coming down, you know, from the mountain. I'm not saying that everything he says is gospel. Right. I'm just saying that he does a heck of a job. And I know you respect him too, Jerry. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
I respect his work. I think he'd be a nice guy to have on and break down potential Giants.
That would be funny, like hearing him say about these guys, like, hey, he should be there at 11. He should be there at the Giants' next pick. And then see what the Giants do. You're like, all right, thanks, Dave. Bye. I'm just, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it should be a fun time. And like you said, the guy's a guru. And he's going to go probably a lot deeper than most people will. So it should be awesome. And that's the stuff, man. This is in the off season, talking about the draft and the possibilities of it and who's out there. That's the fun stuff. Can't wait. So good job by you. It's a good get.
And just a quick thing, you know, I remember last year when he put in his draft by Andrew Thomas. And one of the things he put, like, got to work on a technique. You know, gets lazy with the technique at times. Yep. And Jerry, that was one of the things that happened.
Yeah.
You know, right. His technique was horrible.
That one is spot on.
His technique was horrible.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yep.
Just a little thing. I think everybody will enjoy him and what he has to say about these kids, you know?
Good stuff, buddy. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital subscription, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. And download the Giant Insider app from the App Store. All right, guys. Remember, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
All right. Take care. See you next week.
Oh, good stuff, dude.